say, we've seen the blood.
Amen.
We've seen it made manifest. We've seen Christ made alive in our hearts and lives. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. We made it through the weekend. You made it through. And we appreciate everybody for all that you were doing to taking care of Brother Brother Long Short, and we call him. Brother. But we just appreciate it, Brother Chris. He claims to have had a good time with us anyway. So I appreciate that. That was really good. You took care of him and took care of everything. We appreciate all of that too. All right, are we ready to hear the word? We're glad that Brother Marcus could be with us tonight and minister unto us, and just pray that the Lord would open his eyes and give him understanding that he may speak to our hearts and lives, because that's what we desire. That's what we're here for. We're here to hear the word of the Lord. Now, remember the announcements coming up. It won't be, you know, this is coming up Sunday, the first, right? See, so we got everything going, and I'll put, just remember now, they won't be that way falling on the first, won't be any Bible study. We won't have a Bible study in
December,
okay? All right, so that'll take care of that. We'll all have that straightened out, okay? Let's just sing, Open the Eyes of My Heart, as Brother Marcus from Germany comes to speak the word of the Lord unto us. Right?
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, setting in the light of the glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, Holy, Holy, Holy. I am lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, Holy, Holy.
While the music maybe softly is playing, let's just bow our heads, if you wouldn't mind. And if somebody wants that the Lord speaks to him or her personally, you just raise your hands to God. Amen. Heavenly Father, we so much love these songs, Father, and we are already inspired, Father, to pronounce your name and your grace and how great you are and how wonderful you are, Father. May you just speak to our hearts this evening. Lord, as you laid on my heart to have a real thanksgiving, Father, Lord, may you bless each and everyone that is here. May you bless your people Israel, Father, the natural Israel, the spiritual Israel, your bride, Father. Lord, we lay ourselves into your presence and say, Lord, help us to go forward, to go on, Father. And so we lay everything into your hands. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. And while we're standing, let's open the word of the Lord. And you have already heard in the prayer, I have quite an accent, and you just take what I want to say instead of what I'm saying. But let's open in the first book of Kings, chapter 19, verse 1. And behold, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the God do for me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by the morrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. We may be seated. It's fine for me to put up the jacket. Huh? Thank you very much, because I know already I have to go to work, and therefore... Exactly. So now I greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's my great honor after 5 years to be here back again, Brother Dale, Brother Wade, and you always had some kind like a place in my heart. And this church and the Wednesday when I was here, I remember was preaching about God remembers. And exactly so. And so I bring you greetings from my pastor, Brother Rodewald. And I was here for some meetings over there in Ohio and just connected this time a little bit together. And thank you for giving me the time. I know it means a lot to just invite somebody to show the confidence. I surely appreciate this. And blessed be the name of the Lord. I thank Brother Luis and his family for all his friendship, and I contacted him that I would be around in the area, and it seems that Brother Luis is very proud of his pastor and about his congregation. That's what he says, eh? Yes, and that makes it easy, because it seems that and I'm sure that we have exactly the same vision in many, many things. And so I will enter directly into the service, if you wouldn't mind, and we wish you from our hearts God's blessing. I hope I don't have to present myself in a certain way. We have no message of our own. And I hope I'm not hurting your feelings by feeling the message of the hour does not come from America. It comes from the presence of Almighty. Yeah? Amen. Exactly so. Huh? But this evening... I had that subject on my heart, and I'm stopping there where I stopped over there in Ohio. I would like to talk this evening about our Father.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And about a true thanksgiving. I want to warm our hearts again when we go into the Thanksgiving Day. Thanksgiving was invented, I think, by Lincoln. Is that correct? By Abraham Lincoln, Washington or Lincoln, one of both. And he invented that day of, he said, as a commemoration of the living God who gave us that country.
Yeah.
But it became a barbecue day.
Yeah. Right.
It became a hunting day.
Right.
It became a Disneyland day.
Yeah. Right.
But this evening we want to think about our Father.
Amen.
There's something we have in common, that's our Father.
Amen.
Even we might see things a little bit different, but we have a wonderful Father.
Amen.
Therefore, we have the same chemistry, because
Amen.
We have the same Father. Huh?
Yes,
so please keep in mind, I have one service. I'm not making a teaching, but I always like to certainly show a little bit of a picture.
Amen.
So keep always one thing in mind. If a minister has one service in 90 minutes or a little bit less, I don't want to take too much on a Wednesday, he cannot bring all the aspects. He cannot bring all the balance in all things. So bear with me. I don't have a special doctrine. My Father is my doctrine. Okay?
Amen.
So you say, Brother Marcus, what kind of doctrine do you have? Nearer my God to thee. That's our doctrine.
Amen.
Huh? Amen.
Amen.
You say amen.
Amen.
So let us directly go into that subject.
Amen.
I would like to call... or a name, that sermon. I don't say I'm preaching messages, I'm preaching sermons, because
Amen.
The message is preached.
Amen.
But that's just a question of let me say, expression. The rapture comes to you.
Yeah.
It's not that you are doing something to come into the rapture,
right.
But the rapture comes to you.
Right. Amen.
Amen. The rapture, now in the time of Jesus, the resurrection was an event and was a person. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. It's not only an event, it is a person.
Amen.
And we see today the rapture is not only an event, it's a person.
That's right.
He is the rapture. And we, as Brother Branham said, she becomes him. The bride is the rapture in herself. Exactly so. So in that, at the same time, it is an event, certainly. Now that sermon about what happened here, Brother Branham preached at different times. And he called it, "What dost thou hear, Elijah? And what dost thou hear, Elijah?" And it is the story about a man who, after his great and tremendous victory over 400 preachers, and tie this to what happened in Brother Branham's meeting at the beginning of his ministry, 400 preachers in Chicago, you see exactly the parallel. The time of the evening comes and he's slaughtering all these kind of people. And the next day, and I say it in my own words, he got an email of Jezebel and said, "Look, the next morning we will do the same what you did to my priest." And something happened to that man. It was the same God.
Amen.
It was the same doctrine.
Right.
It was the same church.
Yeah.
It was the same Israel. But Brother Branham said, the anointing left the man. And that can happen to all of us. We have our strong days and we have our weak days. We have them. And we see that when he went into the wilderness, he took his servant with him. And after a certain time, he left his servant and went alone. And Brother Branham said, people who come into this condition, they want to stay alone. That is the moment when they are leaving church. They shouldn't do this. But it's a human reaction on a situation that I cannot handle. Brother Branham didn't dramatize that or dramaticalize that situation. He said his nerves were at the end. Not more. All was well with his soul. All was well with God. All was well with the message of the hour, but his nerves came to an end. Brother Branham explains in the 60s what we would call today burnout syndrome. That he showed it was too much pressure. And then Brother Branham says this, "I never spoke to so much tired people than today." And he ties it to a burnout of the people in the 60s. Now, what would he tell today? Now, look, sometime, and I'm very happy about this good atmosphere, but sometimes you preach on a Wednesday service, and after 15 minutes, people begin to sleep. It was not the bad preaching because they didn't hear anything to preach about, but they sleep already because it's a tiredness of the people. But if they would watch Super Bowl, they wouldn't sleep. You see, you have to understand, whenever you come into a church, there is a fight going on. And you sit down and Satan comes and... And therefore we should be awake. We should be there. Can you say amen?
Amen.
But it's a sign of that time. And what happened is he wanted to be alone. And he came to the point that he wanted to just to die. And that was the moment when God had to react. Brother Branham said, if you are on your post of duty, God is determined or he is obligated to help us. Exactly so. So God did not send a social worker. God didn't send an evangelist to say, "Come on, you have the message of your come." No, that was not helpful. I told it again before. There was a great pianist by the name of Arthur Rubinstein. And Arthur Rubinstein was asked the question, "Is it difficult to play piano?" He says, "Playing piano is very simple. You just have to put down the right keys at the right time. So simple. It's so simple. It's not, you know, just the right keys at the, so it's already there. Why you study? You just have to make the right thing." So to have a spiritual leadership to help a person in a depressed way is very simple. You just have to be the right person at the right time, in the right place, in the right spirit, saying the right thing. And he must be in the right spirit to receive you in the right way. So it's very simple. Sometimes if we go to difficult stages in our life, no word is the best word. That is not a time when I need biblical verses or slogans, even not a quotation. That's fine, but it must be the right word at the right time. If not, it even hurts even more my feeling. So God knew this. God came down and sent an angel. God is willingly to help his children. Now, this is the thought of this whole evening. And we will see it in the message. When you did your best, when you did your best and you come to the end, Brother Branham says, God will send the same angel to you. We will see it this evening. God is not sitting in heaven and said, I will see who will make it with the rapture. No, God will find his children. And you do your part and he will do his part. You do your part. You don't put your hands in the pocket and say, no, you do your part. But be sure you will not make it without God. No matter how long hair we have, no matter what we do, no matter how, if God doesn't come down to help us, we will not make it. Can you say amen? That Brother Bram said, if you did your best and you are finished, God will send the same angel. Hallelujah. So that angel, he had something to eat. Now first he laid him down sleeping, calming down his nerves. Brother Bram said, I'm right now myself under the juniper tree. He said that prophet needed some rest and some care. And Brother Bram said, God sent, I say it in my own words, send the angels with the nicest hand just to care about him. It's just to, here is my prophet, he's worn out, he's broken, just lift him up again. That's our Father. He's taking care of us. Now, while he was laying there, and the angel woke him up, and he gave him something to eat, some cookies. And Brother Bram said, I want to know which vitamins were in those cookies. Because with the power of those cookies, he went 40 days and 40 nights. Can you say amen? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Remember this, the message that we believe is not a doctrine. It's not a book of behavior. The message is our Father speaking to us. He just used a vessel. But the origin comes from our Father. Now, if a man loves a woman and he writes her some love letters, now that woman will not embrace the postman. She will embrace the one who wrote the letter. Can you say amen? Therefore, we are not Branhamites. We are not Branhamites. We do not marry Eliezer. Amen. But it was only Eliezer bringing us to Isaac, which is Christ the Word. But the bride marries Isaac. And unfortunately, good people trying to marry Eliezer, Brother Branham. But that's not so. We marry the Word. Can you say amen? So there was something special in those cookies. And I always say this in my word. The message that we believe is Red Bull. It's Red Bull. Now, I was a small boy when I was in school. And I remember that I had a little bit complexes because I was just a small and a very thin boy. So I had two favorites in my life. That was Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone. So, I made some kind of like a bodybuilding at that time. And I want to tell you, brothers, not to be funny, but there's a truth. I want to speak to the young brothers. Everything that you see here was here. But this was just a changing of dispensation. So you can work out whatever you want, but one day it will be here. So don't invest too much time in bodybuilding. You can do this, nothing against. But soul building is much more important. Don't forget the soul building. Exactly so. And I remember that I was seeing a film of Arnold Schwarzenegger. I think it was Conan. And he was just using his breast muscle like this. And I was a young boy and made bodybuilding. And I went before the mirror, but nothing was moving. So I had to work out again. So, but what I found out is, if you want to have muscles, you cannot eat McDonald's. And if you want to have spiritual muscles, you cannot eat Facebook. And you cannot eat WhatsApp the whole day. That's fine, everyone, WhatsApp. But what you need is spiritual food in due seasons. It's the right message. Can you say amen? So therefore, it's so wonderful. Now, that scenery that we have seen here now, tie it to our time. When the angel of Revelation 10 comes down, and what does he have in his hand? Something to eat. Eat the book, and you will have strength to make the journey. Therefore, we have so much weak people in this message, because they just join to say, I'm in the message. That's not enough. You have to eat the book. You have to feed yourself, feed your soul. Because faith has hair on its chest. That's what the prophet said. Can you say amen? So that's so important. God did not leave his prophet alone. God wasn't just there and say, okay, that's your problem. God said in heaven, now you stood for me, now I stand for you. Brother, sister, it matters to serve the Lord. It matters to come to church. It matters to pay tithings. It matters to pray. Because God remembers those things. Can you say amen? Every person who doesn't pay their tithing shows he has no revelation about God. It's not a lawful, it's not a legalistic thing. It's a question of understanding who my Father is and how my Father will bless me for every penny. Can you say amen? So our life will be part of, our life will express our revelation. Now, the message comes to you. Because one thing is clear. Brother Branham did not only reveal people's life. Your name is Eva and I see you in a car accident. That was the first and the second pull. Yeah. But Brother Branham revealed the heart of God.
Amen. Right. Yes, sir.
And I want you to put on the spiritual jacket. Because it seems to be like a little funny story, but there is a truth behind. Brother Branham was around mighty man from the Bible College. And they made a little bit fun of him and saying, Brother Branham, you don't know your Bible. Because these people, Gordon Lindsay and so on, they could speak Hebrew, Greek, whatever. Amen. So they let him know, Brother Branham, you don't know your Bible like you should. And then Brother Branham said this, I may not know the Bible like I should, but I know the author of that Bible. And we say, oh, that's a funny slogan, because we think about Pentecostal things and here's the healing and here's the healing and here's the... But what does he say? He said, I know the nature of the one who wrote the book. And you will first understand the Bible if you know the nature of the one who wrote it. Do you understand it? And then we will see the nature of this message. Because if we have the message without the nature of God, we become dogmatic. We become hard. We become arrogant. We become Pharisees. I mean, or we become worldly. All things, everything will be hard. But if we understand how our Father thinks, then we think, I want to be like Him. Can you say amen? This message reveals how our Father, what Martin Luther never could have preached.
Right.
Amen. Even Paul could not have preached. It's a mystery.
That's right.
Amen. Which was held, Junior Jackson said, never was light upon that white rock. Never ever.
Right.
He said, since the foundation of the world, even Paul never revealed it.
That's right.
Because it's our time.
That's right.
Some of the things is revealed in our time because it was never able before.
Amen.
Therefore, I told you the weekend, you see the book of Esther. Esther never was mentioned in the Bible, in the New Testament. Paul never mentioned it. Martin Luther said, the book of Esther should be thrown into the river. That's what he said. Because as the book of Esther, first, it's a feminist book. Second, it's a Jewish book. It's too Jewish. Third, God is not even mentioned in the whole book. Therefore, he said, now this book of Esther should be thrown into the river. Now Brother Ben picks it up and preaches and shows we are that Esther. Amen. Because he speaks about the marriage of the Lamb. He speaks about Esther. That's our time of marriage in that we live. Can you say amen? Because this is a special time. Who is Esther? We are Esther. Can you say amen? Now, our Father has a nature. And I want to say this. It is right to brag upon our Father. And we want to do it this evening. And I'm not the only one. I'm just a preacher. But we can just say in our heart, Brother Marcus, that is nothing than the truth. Because our Father is such a wonderful person. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you say amen? So before I show you, and I make it really condensed. Don't be afraid. But I want to show you why God had to come down into this generation. Amen. Hallelujah. Keep these things in mind. We're still waiting for him to come. Keep a balance. Christ has come, but we're still waiting for him to meet him in the air. Okay? Keep a balance in all things. Okay? For me, it is not meeting him in the air, let me say, traveling beside the moon. For me, it's a changing of dimension. But that is Marcus. If somebody told me, Brother Marcus, I see it different. And I said, okay, let's both go into the rapture and we will see how it was. Okay? But always keep a balance in those things. So let me just show you some of the pictures to understand what happened to the message of the hour and why a message believer cannot go back into a denomination. There's no way. If he says, okay, there is Jesus too, then I want to say, brother, you never understood anything from the beginning, or sister. And we will see too, he cannot go back into a former age. It's not possible because there's nothing to find there. It's just a mirage. It's just a nostalgic way of thinking about things that are not real anymore. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And maybe if the brothers would help me to just. Now that is the thing. That is the pyramid that Brother Brandon was showing in the message, the stature of a perfect man. And the only thing that I was doing is showing the anointings and the messengers, not more. Exactly so. Just put it in. Right. Now we have to understand one thing. That the birth of the church was at Pentecost. That's what the prophet says. Now, between the birth of the church and the first church, it were 20 years. And Brother Bram says in the resume of the church, he said the church was already a fallen woman. Exactly so. And there is a beginning in the church. You see, Brother Marcus, how do you know this? Now, I show you by the Bible that no apostle understood who the first messenger was. Now, as Paul was not in the upper room, Brother Branham was not in Azusa Street. Both came later. Brother Branham did not come to bring a Pentecost revival because the Pentecost was already on without the prophet being there. Both had to fall in order to show there must be something deeper and higher and bigger than these things. So my question is, why should I turn back to something that fell in the beginning? Now, I want to say this. The time in that we live, there was never a day than this day before.
Amen.
Right. But the beginning of the church was at Pentecost. So blessed be the name of the Lord. And Paul came to lay a foundation. He said, I was sent to be a wise master builder to lay a foundation. But you cannot live in a house which just has a foundation. You need the walls, and at the end you have to put on a roof on that house. And then it becomes a house. So even that slogan, let's go back to Pentecost. There's nothing wrong with the slogan. As long as we understand that we have young people in this message and they need a new birth. They need the Holy Ghost. Because we have some of the youngsters, they are just religious in the message. Therefore, they try to be as worldly as they are and still come to church because they were never called. They need a beginning. They need a foundation. Brother, I have a 16 years old daughter. I don't want to see her religious in the message. I want her to catch the vision that she can say, the God of my father is my God. The joy of my father is my joy. Can you say amen? So back to Pentecost. Yes. But not back to a former age. But not back to 100 or 2,000 years ago. Not at all, because God never goes back. God goes forward. And the prophet said, you cannot live a life looking into the rear mirror. You have to go forward. So the slogan back to Pentecost is in order as long as it is placed correctly. If it's not placed correctly, you go back into a mirage. I mean, we're not doing this. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Because this is a tremendous, this is a time of a capping of the pyramids. This is, now we had seven messengers. Two messengers were special because only one messenger was able to write the Bible.
Right.
That was Paul.
Right. Yeah.
All the other ones were just reformers.
Right.
And the seventh one was able to reveal the seven thunders.
Amen.
I mean, here we are special. Only the seventh one had the third pull.
Right.
Only the seventh one had the ability to create.
Amen.
All the rest, a brother said to me, Brother Marcus, but there were signs and wonders. Signs and wonders were already in the Old Testament. And where do you want to go back to, Judaism or what?
Come on,
amen. We have something that they never had before.
Right.
This is third pull time.
Amen.
This was the birth of the church, but now we live in the adopting.
Amen.
Right. Now we live in the invisible union of Christ and his bride.
Amen.
This is a special time.
Amen.
And we are not despising the beginning, not at all.
Right.
It's tremendous,
amen.
But we have more than they ever had.
Amen.
None of the apostles in the first church age said, look, Peter never said, look, stop, gentlemen. Stop with our counsel. We have a messenger here. Paul is the first messenger. God blindly hided their eyes.
Sure.
Because when Paul would have been in the first church age, they would have already raptured.
Yep.
They would have already gone into the rapture.
Right.
They would have never been seduced.
Right.
Yeah. Can you say? But God allowed, because in Georgia 2019 are still predestinated seats. They had to come.
Amen.
And God kept the door open. He said,
amen.
No. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Therefore, I said what I said this morning. Or this weekend, we don't have a pope in this message.
Right.
If somebody feels to be a pope, he should change the church, go to the Catholic Church. The actual pope is relatively old. Maybe you can get his job later, but I don't know if you make it. And what we don't have is a Sanhedrin council in the message.
That's right.
It's not in the message at all. If people think they can, they will, they be. Say, let's go back to the UPC. They have it.
Yeah.
Or please go back to Judaism. We have neither a pope,
right,
nor we have a council.
No.
Every church,
amen,
is sovereign before God.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Yes, sir.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Therefore, in the plan of God, nobody preached you in. And nobody will preach you out.
Right.
If this church is God's will, nobody will preach the church out of the message.
Right.
You say, my brother, maybe you see it different, but God placed us here.
Amen.
And you discuss with my father about it.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
So there's no pope in the message, and there's no Sanhedrin council who thinks,
brother,
now to do, this is message and this is not. Brother, go home.
That's right. Amen.
Can you say amen?
Yes, sir,
look, sir, this is just a special time in that we live. You make the next one, please. Amen. Because the rapture comes to you. Amen. Now that's what the prophet said in Revelation chapter 1. I have to read it myself. Therefore, I was printing out these things. Just give me a second. Now he said, now if you notice Revelation 1, we find Jesus standing in the seven church ages, the seven golden candlesticks. When he turned and saw one like the Son of Man standing closed, how it was the bride standing in the candlestick, drawn out. So if the bride is there and the marriage is there, now somebody is missing. It's the bridegroom. It's the word. The entire Holy Ghost must visit the church. It's the time that we live in. Can you say amen? Next one, please. It's a special time that we live. Amen. Now, look at this. When God sent the message and the messenger, God sent them to heal the people. God said, do not fear. I'm sent from the presence of God to tell you that your particular birth and your peculiar life has been to indicate that you are taking a gift of divine healing to the people of the world. Now make a stop here. Amen. And think twice. God loves human beings.
Amen. Yes, sir, he does.
That's the nature of our Father.
Right. Amen.
And if you have that nature, if you are of your, you love people. Even those who disagree with you. Because when those people came into the prayer line, Brother Bram didn't ask, now, are you a Christian? Do you pay your tithings? Do you this? It was just somebody in need, and God wants to help somebody who is in need. If he's a Muslim, he's a Muslim. Let him be what God made him to be. But we have a message to go on. There's a thought that Brother Branham said. He said, life is precious in the eyes of God. And you see an unbeliever. And we sometimes we think we can step over him. But don't step over him. Don't step over him. Because for this man, it's maybe for one little girl, her daddy. And sure, for one mama, it's her son. And for us, that person has no value for. But for daddy and mama, it is her boy. Or maybe he says, this is my papa. He's in alcohol problems.
Yeah.
Life is precious in the eyes of God.
Glory.
Brother, we start. Sometimes I hear slogans, even in the message. You can see it's a spirit, it's an anointing. First we speak, disrespectful about unbelievers. Fine, okay. Then we speak disrespectful about denominations. Let them give their place. Then we speak disrespectful about all those in the message who doesn't believe exactly like us.
Yeah.
Then at the end, we're in a one-man denomination, the only one that we respect. Brother, everyone needs a certain form of a respect, a dignity. Brother, we don't have television at home. But there is a certain program. I'm still aware of these things. There's a program in Germany. Which says it's something like America's Idol, something like this. Germany searches the superstar. And the idea of that program is as follows. It is the young people that present themselves and they sing. And the tribunal, those who are judging it, they are making fun about these people. They are humiliating them right before the others. That's the spirit of it.
Yeah.
Make fun of it. Now, as wrong as the Protestant church is, and as far away as it is from God, but he was an intelligent man. He was writing an open letter to that television station. He said, we see how these people are humiliated online before millions of people. He said, did you forget that every human being is made in the image of God?
Amen. That's right.
And there is a dignity that goes along with a person.
Yes.
No matter how wrong he is, no matter there's a dignity that goes along with a person. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I know that I'm now saying now a good sentence, and that you say in your heart, Brother Marcus, you are our sweetheart. But I said at a minister's meeting, and there was a young brother, he was speaking a little bit about retirement and these. I said, brother, God honors gray hair. God honors gray hair. That means because it's a lot of life wisdom behind gray hair.
Right.
And God will only bless a young man if he knows how to honor older people.
Right.
Because they proved already in their life that they're standing.
Right.
Amen. I know you always say, Brother Mark, you're a sweetheart for us. No, I know. But that is exactly so. But what happens? When the prophet came on the scene, make the next one please. When the prophet came on the scene, that is the life of Brother Branham. Now I want you to put again the spiritual jacket. When you came on the earth, God never asked you, do you want to be American?
Right.
Do you want to be white? Do you want to be black?
Nope.
Sometimes we have families. I personally come from a divorced family. Sometimes we have families with very difficult backgrounds. And it was not your fault to be born in this situation. I mean, if your father was an alcoholic, you had a hard youth. Amen. And God placed you there. And God knew what he did. But we did not choose neither our births. But God knew one thing. Here is the family of God before I make just a picture before the foundation of the world. Amen. We are not arrogant, because Brother Bram said, if you want to continue with God, never have an arrogant spirit in your heart. But we are proud of our Father. We are proud who we are. Amen. Paul said, I'm not boasting about the human, the outward man, but I'm boasting about the man that I saw 14 years ago. For me, that was his own theophany. But that's Marcus, okay? But here's the family of God. And God just made a picture. And then he took our lives. And he was just bringing it in seven church ages, some in America, some in Australia, some there, some in Luther's age, some in Paul's age, some in Brother Branham's age. And God knows one thing. At the end of all time, the whole family of God will be again together.
Amen.
Brother Branham said, God will not lose one of his attributes.
Amen.
And he says, God is not complete without you.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
And God knows one thing. My sheep hear my voice. And he speaks among the messenger.
Amen.
Through the messenger.
Amen.
But God sometimes placed us in difficult situations.
Sure.
And he knows it. And he places us in bodies that we don't like. Now, you have in America a slogan that we have in Germany the same way, a person standing in his own way. And that is most of our problem. It's not brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. As I was preaching the weekend, it's the self in us.
Right.
Brother Bram said that was the curtain behind between the sanctuary and the Holy Spirit. It's the self-will.
Right.
Exactly. So the self. So God placed us with a certain temperament. Now put on the spiritual jacket. We were Pentecostals when we came to the message.
Right.
And we thought when the Holy Ghost comes, everything is solved. And we did not understand the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the beginning of all things.
Right.
Not the end.
Right.
It's the beginning. It's the beginning of my growth.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And we thought the Holy Ghost comes and we are completely new creations. Yes, potentially, but then now God has to do the work.
Amen.
And it takes some time, a lifetime,
Amen.
Till we are molded into that image.
Amen.
So here's Brother Branham. And you have to you have to message on the wings of a snow white dove.
Right.
Brother Branham said, I always was a neurotic.
Right. Yeah.
But imagine what he says. I was a neurotic before my new birth with the Holy Ghost, and after I was had the Holy, I stayed to be a neurotic. And then he says this, I am a melancholic. That's what the prophet said many times. Amen. That's what the Bible speaks about. Elijah was a man of likewise passion. Brother Bram said he was a melancholic type of a person. Amen. And you still have it even with the Holy Ghost. And it's not a problem in this. But it shows some actions that we have. I mean, how we stand in our own way. And Brother Bram said this. He said, you have to know your weaknesses. And then you protect your weaknesses by prayer. Exactly so. But we have that nature that we didn't want it to have. But God placed us in body. So to make it, all hell is against you.
Right.
All natural outside is against you. And even your own self is against you. And the only one who is a true believer is the eternal part that God placed in your soul. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Therefore, look, Brother Branham, full of the Holy Ghost, the seals are open. And I'm not going to accept because for Wednesday evening, but let me give you an example. No, I will not give you because then I'm taking away by the time. But now this is, hallelujah, because I have a subject to really focus on. But look, Brother Branham, 1963, May, standing in the gap. I mean, the seals are open. Did Brother Branham have the Holy Ghost? Certainly he had the Holy Ghost. But he wanted to give up and he said it was because of the people. They let me know I was not able enough. Exactly so. And so he stopped the car and God said, look to the west. He said, that's your life.
Right.
Exactly so. That is your life.
Right.
Seven peaks, three poles.
Right.
Now I asked you the question, when did those mountains came up?
Yeah.
Do you think that was 1963 that God said it came up?
Yeah.
When God created the earth.
Right.
He knew my seventh angel is a melancholic type of a person. And God says to Brother Branham, if you ever have a doubt in your mind, right, come back to this.
Right. Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
So when God speaks to Brother Branham, you have to understand one thing. You came out wrong on this earth.
Amen.
Though in America you are on the lucky side of life. And we in Germany are on the lucky side of life. You say, Brother Marcus, Mr. Trump is right. I mean, all these Mexicans and all these from Honduras, let's make a wall, that's right. And we say the same thing. You know, let them drown in the Mediterranean Sea.
Yeah.
You see, let them stay in Turkey. But if God would have placed you in Mexico, you would think different.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
You would have a baby with nothing to feed.
Yeah, right.
Amen. We have a brother living in Venezuela. And there's a brother, there's a president by the name of Maduro. So let me say in my own words, idiotic.
There you go.
That the people don't have anything to eat. Right. Now what do you do? Then you have to say only believe the same way.
Right.
God placed us here on the lucky side of life.
Right.
Thank you, Father.
Right.
Thank you, Jesus.
Right.
Amen. Blessed be it. But God could have placed us. God could have placed your soul in a body which is handicapped.
Yep.
And still it's the same God.
Amen.
Blessed be the name. God can place you in a rich family. God can place you in a poor family.
Yeah, right. Amen.
Amen. And you say, Brother Marcus, we had a denominational idea of now, when we come to the Lord, we present everybody, you know, I brought 5 to the Lord, and here's all my children, and look, what a...
yeah.
Sometimes you have nobody to present. We have brothers in the church where the whole family doesn't come to church anymore. I tell the brother, I said, look, brother, you will not help those families if you stay alone, if you stay at home. He said, you serve the Lord and you would see what God will do.
Right.
I said, at least at the white throne judgment, you will see them again.
Yes.
Amen. Here comes that sister, and in the denominational world, they thought, a sister must evangelize. And that sister, she lost her husband. And the other sister asked her, look, what will you present to Jesus when he comes? You did not nothing. You just raised up the family. You did not evangelize here and there. And you know what that sister said? She said, I will show him my hands. How I worked for the family. That was the thing to honor God.
Right.
Sometimes you have to say, I don't have no trophy, but I am the prof trophy.
Amen. Right.
I made it. I came through against all odds. I never gave up.
Amen.
I am the trophy of God. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So therefore, you have to understand one thing. And I think that the thought is clear from the Bible. If you will have a theophany, you have it already.
Right.
Because the Bible says, when our earthly tents will be dissolved, we have a body which is not made by hand, but which is eternal.
Right.
Amen. That means that body is eternal. And Brother Bram said, that's our theophany.
Yeah.
So God will not, before you die, 10 minutes before you die, think, will he get a theophany?
Yeah.
Did he pay his tithings?
No.
Was he always nice to Marcus Becker?
Yeah.
See, that was our understanding. But God gave you the victory already before you were born. He was already there.
Amen.
Therefore, Brother Branham said, and he opens that mystery. He shows the life of that woman at the well.
Right. Yeah.
How she was frauded or discouraged by her first husband.
Right.
And she throwed away her life and she got from one husband to the next.
Right.
And the Bible said he had to pass by Samaria. And Brother Branham said, because she had a representation of the thoughts of God. No matter what it is, to my understanding, it's a theophany, but that's Marcus. I might be wrong in this. But one thing is sure, she had representation from the thoughts of God. That means she did not get a representation because Jesus came by, but Jesus came by because she had already a representation. Brother, sister, I tell you, those who were in the world, God took care of already of you when you never thought about him. You were already in his mind. God, you had already an angel protecting you because the elect has angels. And you were in the world, you were in the discotheque, you were thinking, and God said, I have to pay attention, my child makes too much, too childish, too, You understand? And then we understand how our Father cared for us. And the same Father who cared will bring me home. Bring me home. And it will be Him bringing me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So that's your life. Hallelujah. God didn't give us a nice life. For none of us. You say, oh, if I would be in that family. Every child of God has their challenges. Some here and some there. Everybody has, because character is molded by these circumstances. But I want to say one thing. If you are on the mountaintop, don't be arrogant.
Yeah, right.
Oh, if I see that family and the children, oh, la, 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 I don't understand. And God says, you don't understand, I will show you.
Yeah.
If it's not my hand, your children go do anything, the same thing.
Right.
So if we're on the mountaintop, don't become arrogant. But if you are in the valley, don't give up.
Right.
Don't give up, because if you're in the valley, the next mountain will come. Because there's a power that brings me home.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
Next one, please. I'm just going through. Amen. Now, here's what happened. Now, when the prophet came, as I told you, I have to read it like this. Sorry for this. Because when the prophet came, his whole ministry was the healing part.
Right.
Right. But others could now, others could reproduce what the prophet did. Even more healings.
That's right.
You see these ministries like Tommy Osborne.
That's right.
He was sitting in Brother Branham's meeting and he said, what he does, I can do the same.
Right.
You see, they all come out of the minister of Brother Branham.
Right.
And they had tremendous healings. But one thing is sure, they had no message.
No message.
Right. 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 Right.
They had no message. Because a father is the head of his home.
Amen.
A pastor is the head of the local church.
Amen.
Christ is the head of the age. The messenger is the head of the age.
Right.
Christ is the head of all seven messengers.
Right. Amen. Amen.
So the bride is the final voice in the final age. Under her messenger.
Exactly.
Can you say amen?
Yes,
amen? So Laodicea had many tremendous men. One of them is Jimmy Swaggart.
Oh, yeah.
Sing it again, sisters.
Yeah.
But only one had a voice. Only one had a voice. Can you say amen?
Amen. That's right, brother.
So, brother, why should I read books?
Yeah. Right.
Of all kinds of theologians, knowing that they don't have a clue about the truth.
Right. Right.
The word comes to the prophet.
Right. That's right, brother.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
If you have too much time, read all kinds of books, but we are pressed in time. We don't have time to lose. We get in the message directly.
Right.
Can you say amen? So, but there is a changing. And the prophet explains it. Because coming to church or coming to these great meetings became an entertainment for the people.
Right. Yes, it did. Amen.
Brother, and that is what we see even when we see many of these. I'm a camp speaker. That's how I'm invited. People say, Brother Mark is a young people's speaker. He's a youth minister. That's fine. Nothing if it's for the... So we go to youth camps. But sometimes we've seen it became an entertertainment for them.
Right.
Exactly. There's no changing. There's no sincerity in that whole thing. You see, sometimes you can even a local church. You see, I was new in our local church, and here come some youngsters. They came in like this in the church. I wondered myself who the parents were, but soon I found out who the parents were, because they came like this in the sanctuary. You wonder yourself, hey, do you speak to your father? Do you know who is here? We believe in a church like this, the same pillar of fire that was with Brother Ben must be here. Must be here. If not, we are just making nice speeches. We believe wherever the message of God is preached, God is there. Power of transformation. So God says we have now to change the program. He said this. And this is called the tent vision. Okay, first pull, second pull, tent vision.
Right.
I seen them bring a lady on a stretcher. And there was a lady there taking her name things on a paper. And there was someone got her, pushed her through. The next man comes through with his crutches. I see them go through that little building. And on the outside, the lady came out screaming to the top of her voice, pushing the stretcher. And then there was another lady on the other side, looked like kind of a dark-haired woman. And she said, what happened? She said, I just don't know. We could continue. Now make a stop here. The tent vision This is now Marcus, okay? By the best of my understanding. The tenth vision is that Brother Ram sees that the pillar of fire went from him over a little tent. Or he calls it a wooden building. Now, if you take that vision literally, and it must be a tent, like they tried to do, I think, in Nicaragua, yeah, then the question is, we poor Germans, we will never come to that tent. Right. Now, if the tent is in Germany, you poor Americans, you have to pay a lot of dollars to come to that tent. Right. So according to my understanding, it has a symbolic meaning.
Right.
And who was the first one who had a tent vision? That was Moses.
Yeah.
Going up, seeing the tabernacle of God, and God told him, when you come back to earth, you build it exactly like you saw in heaven. And Brother Abraham said, there's a type on the man. Body, soul, spirit, outer court, inner court, holies of holies. So for me, the tent, who is the tent? We're the tent.
Amen.
Because if our earthly tabernacle or tent will be dissolved, we live in a tent. That's Marcus. Maybe it has other explanations too. Look, don't forget one thing, brother, sister. I'm a very sympathetic person. Very much. You love me. But you have to understand, I live in a German tent for 70, 80 years. But if this tent will be dissolved, you will see who Marcus was really.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
So it can have different... different explanations about this. But for me, it's not literal, it's symbolic.
Amen. Yeah.
Like Brother Branham said, the bride is the heavenly Jerusalem.
Yes, sir.
Is the new Jerusalem.
Right.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So what happens is this. People went into this tent as a symbol, and they came out healed without knowing how it happened.
Right. Yeah.
That was the vision of Brother Branham. I went there, and the woman said, what happened? She said, I just don't know. I couldn't tell what happened. She said, I've been paralyzed. I feel I never was sick, and so on. I don't know what happened. Now, you understand that people got healed without knowing how they got healed. That means it is not the old system of let's make the prayer line and let's put hands, because these people would have known Brother so-and-so came, and when he laid his hand, I was healed. They said, I just came to church or whatever, and I was healed. I don't know how. Do you understand that God is now working in a supernatural way without making some kind like a platform demonstration? Brother, if you want to have something from God, you don't have to travel to any convention, to any this or any. You come just and stay on your post of duty, and your Father rewards you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Blessed be. I'm a churchgoer.
Amen.
Absolute churchgoer. When church, I'm always going. But I have to realize that all the manifestation of the third pool were outside of a church. God shows, I'm not only in the church here, I go with you where you are.
Right.
If you go hunting and your attitude is right, I can heal you there.
Right.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
Blessed be the name. Whatever, there might be other significations. Blessed be the... But it went away from the principle of the man of the hour to understand the God of the hour is there.
Right.
Can you say amen?
Right. Amen.
Next one, please. Amen. Therefore, amen. When that picture was taken, the Bible says, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness. Now you have to understand one thing. That Brother Branham was a star.
Sure.
And a star shines in the night.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
That is Laodicea.
Amen.
And we are still living in Laodicea.
Amen.
Because Mr. Trump is not the owner. He is not in the millennium. He's not. We're still living in Laodicea.
Right.
But the bride at the same time came over into bride age.
Amen. Right.
Amen. Right. And Brother Branham preaches the message. Shalom. Amen. 1964. Good morning, church. Why does he say good morning? The night is over.
Amen.
And the prophet said this. He said, when the sun goes up, the sun is the king of all lights.
Amen. Right.
Say amen. We still live in Laodicea condition.
Right.
But the bride went over this.
Amen.
The bride is in bright age.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
Therefore, the bride is not miserable. Is somebody miserable here? Then you should better come into bright age.
Amen.
Is somebody blind? That would be sad.
Amen.
Is somebody here naked when the word came down? No, sir.
Nope.
It's a special time.
Yeah.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
But what goes along when we speak about the opening of the word? He said, with healing under his wings, there's a healing that God does that was never done before in the other pools.
Right. That's right. Amen.
But it's different than we thought. We always had Pentecostal idea. Somebody has to come. Somebody has to lay hands. And God said, look, my presence will do many things.
Right.
Because when the sun comes up, it pulls out all the water which is in. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So you today, you don't look for the man of the hour. Who should we invite to revive the church? Invite the word.
Amen. Glory. Amen.
Who should I invite to them get healed? Invite the word, and the healing is going there. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. There's a changing. Make the next one, please. Okay, right. I mean, finishing that little part about this. Now this is just the same picture that we showed before, but now just, let me say, when those seven angels came in the form of a pyramid,
that's right,
in the vision that Brother Branham had in Sources of the Time, in that vision, he said, I was caught into that constellation. Amen. And here was a movement. Amen. Amen. Now, first, Brother Branham writes it as a little gap. Amen. But there is an invisible union today going on.
Amen. Yeah. That's right, brother.
Between the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride.
Amen.
Yeah. Because this headstone, he said, is magnetized.
Amen. Yeah. That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Therefore, the head was in that.
Yeah.
Amen. That's him.
Amen.
That's Christ.
Amen.
That's the entire Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's the thing that the church was waiting for 2,000 years ago.
That's right.
That is, you in New York, you in Florida, this day, this scripture is fulfilled.
Amen.
What? Revelation 1-7, said the prophet.
Amen. Right.
What? Christ came down.
Right. Yeah.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. With what? Healing under his wings.
Yeah, right.
So somebody came down, Brother Ram said, it's Christ.
Amen. Right.
Amen. And somebody's taken up.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. So if the church is standing here somewhere, and that cloud comes and takes the church in its constellation, you don't see them anymore.
Right.
And you remember that Brother Branham said, in the fourth chapter of Revelation, the church is not be seen anymore.
That's right.
Can you say amen? So we think the church is raptured, taken away. Yes.
Amen.
But there is a spiritual application too.
Amen.
I just have to find, just give me a second. Brother Dale, Brother Wade, do you know a Mrs. Christine Peringal? Brother, do you know Mrs. Christine Peringal? Brother Joe Canada, do you know Mrs. Christine Peringal? So the FBI is here. Give that woman out. Peringal, Christine Peringal. If not, we take you. The sheriff will arrest you. You say, honestly, brother, friends, there's no Christine. But do you know a Christine Uriego?
Yes.
By marriage, she changed her identification.
Amen.
Christine Peringal doesn't exist anymore, but the person is still there.
Yes. Amen.
She's there and not there.
Amen.
You see?
Yeah.
She's there and not
Amen.
There. When I was a young boy, I made all the nonsense that you can do in the world. I was in the French Foreign Legion. I mean, those soldiers. You know how the French Foreign Legion works? You go in as a criminal. I wasn't a criminal, but I went in. I was a sinner, but not a criminal, but I went in. And when you come to the French Foreign Legion, you just get a number. And when you come out of 5 years, you get a complete new passport. I mean, you were never born. I was born in Germany. Your old passport does not exist. I mean, you are born and you get a passport. This is not Marcus Becker, but Marcus Saint-Laurent. born in Paris, you get a complete new identity. So I'm there, the police comes, is here Marcus Becker? They said, no. Marcus Becker standing here, but I changed my identity. The church cannot be seen anymore. Why? How do you make it? By changing your name. How do you change your name? By marriage. In the invisible union of Christ and His Word. You say amen? Therefore, Brother Bram said, one thing is sure. And that's the thing, therefore he came down to reveal our true identity. Therefore we're not Baptists anymore. Therefore we're not saying, I am in the message. That's fine, but that's not our identity. No, but we're in Christ. Look, here is that whore, Rahab. And when those two, Brother Bram said, they were two tape boys. When they're coming in, she made a covenant. First, Brother Bram said, she protected the message. And the message later saved the household of her, of Rahab. For the Israeli spies, it was, or for Israeli army, it was not difficult to find out the house of Rahab. Because it was at the outside wall. And when all the walls crumbled, one house was still standing. And said, that's Rahab. That was not difficult to find. But there is a mystery behind that story, says Brother Branham. Because Rahab married Solomon, the great American general, Israeli general. And both went to Bethlehem to build up that city, Bethlehem. Now, from the moment on that Solomon married Rahab, she was not Rahab anymore. She was Miss Solomon. And when she entered to Bethlehem, and somebody would have asked, where is the whore Rahab? Who? Standing right before them. And not. She changed her identity. I'm not. I'm Miss Solomon. Do you understand? The church is not be seen anymore. It has a double meaning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Therefore he came down. Therefore he's our identity. Therefore, we have two names. Amen. Therefore, we are Esther. Therefore, Esther had two names. One was the Israeli name, that means Esther Star. And one was her original name, that means Hadassah. Which means bride. Or merchant. Therefore, we have a human life. I ask you, who are you? He said, I'm Fritz Miller, born in Connecticut. And then he said, but I'm more than this. I was there when Job. Amen. When they all shouted for joy, I was already in the mind of God. You understand that our begin was not in America. It was long before the foundation of the world. And all those who were in him, they will come back. We are just in a little passage. We are just pilgrim for some years. And God came down and revealed our identity, who we are. For us, the rapture is the most normal thing, like going to church. Because the rapture is not... The rapture is, hey, my father paid for me at the cross at Calvary. And my father takes me home. And he came to unite himself with me in spirit form, in word form. And I go forward. Can you say amen? There is a day like... There's never been a day like this day before. Now, let me just read, we're stopping this first, okay? Sorry for this, but I need this. Can you say amen so far? Amen. Now, I showed you why God has to come down. Because we can do our efforts as good as we can, but we come to our end. And whenever children of God came to the end, God came down personally. That's his nature. That's the way how we understand the Bible. The Bible became, through the opening of the seventh, a new book. Now we understand how our Father is, who he is, and how he thinks. Now God came down to become man. God never sits on his throne and said, okay, you do now your business. We will see who makes the rapture. God comes down. I love that little illustration. A little boy goes into a shop and he wants to buy some dogs. And the owner comes down the staircase. He said, and the boy said, I want to have this dog. And the owner says, why do you want to have this dog? I mean, he's handicapped. He cannot walk. He doesn't have a value. Why don't you take a real good one? And the boy is rolling up his trousers. And from his knee on, he has an artificial leg. And the boy said, I want to have this dog. Because when we go out, he understands me and I understand him. And Brother Bam said this, God became man to understand man. And then Brother Bram says this, and that is our Father. God became teenager to understand the teenager. And then he even says this, God became man as man. You understand? It's a mixed audience, okay? God became man to understand man. Because when David fell with that woman, God must have said, David, I mean, how can you fall with that? Don't you know what I gave to you? But when God became man, he knew what hormones are. Therefore, a woman comes to Brother Bram and said, and she's so torn up. And Brother Bram said, everything is with you wrong and everything is right. You are just in your menopause, not more. We still live in that body and God understands that. God became teenager to understand the teenagers. God came personally down every evening in the Garden of Eden. That's our Father. Brother, our Father had a lot of things to do. A lot of things. Because, I mean, all these theophany brothers, all these seraphims, all these cherubims, to take care of is quite something.
Amen.
And then to put in action all these universe, every star,
Amen.
I mean, there's something to do.
Right.
But every evening, God came down because his children were in Eden.
Amen.
And brother, if we understand how God was, we take care of our children.
Right. Amen.
You can have your hobby, you can have your fishing, whatever, but never put family second. First God, and then you choose the family.
Right.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
Don't put him just before the screen and said, okay, let them entertain themselves. They don't need a screen, they need daddy.
Amen.
And they need mama to take care of them, to pray with them. God was an example for us. God came down every evening.
Yes, sir.
God came down personally to destroy the Tower of Babel.
Yep. Sure.
God came down personally to shut the door in Noah's ark.
Right. Amen.
Said, I came down and I shut the door.
That's right.
God came down personally to protect the wife of Abraham. When Abraham was lying to the Pharaoh, and Brother Bram said he put already on his pajama, he was thinking about this nice little girl, and God said, look, I have to protect.
Yep.
And he comes down and he speaks to him. He said, look, my friend, you are as good as a dead man.
Right.
You can imagine his feelings change a little bit. He calmed a little bit down from his feelings,
right,
that Pharaoh.
Amen.
But Brother Bram said this, God had to protect her because she was the wife of a prophet.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. God came personally down to visit Abraham and gave him his personal promise.
Amen.
God came down personally to wrestle with Jacob and gave him his new identity.
Amen.
You're not Jacob. You are living in America, born in Connecticut. You're this and this. I know you, that's your size of shoes. That's your blood mark. All is well. That's your profession. That's your IQ. All is well. That's you. But I give you another name. You're Israel.
Right.
I'm a fighter for God.
Right. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God came personally down to meet Moses and gave him his commission.
Yep. Right. Yeah.
He says, I came down and I sent you.
Right. Amen.
Brother Bram said this. Whenever it's important for God, he comes personally.
Amen.
That's our Father.
Amen.
That's our. He doesn't send someone.
Nope.
Therefore, Brother Branham says this, and he speaks about God. You have to understand this. He said, here was the fire brigade of Jeffersonville, and there was some kind like a fire, and the fire captain, let me call him captain, he was standing out, said, you go there, and you go there, and the fire was just going on, and then they heard ding, 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 and here comes the fire brigade from Louisville. And the captain was standing on the ladder, and the ladder goes into the fire, and the man said, "Man, behind me! Come behind me!" And Brother Bram said, in 5 minutes, everything was finished. Because he was somebody taking initiative. God came personally down to open the Red Sea. Look, Israel did their part. But when they were standing at the Red Sea, they knew one thing. We can dance, we can shout, we can praise, we can exercise us into some emotionalism.
Yeah, come on, brother.
But at the end of the day, when God doesn't come down and makes the miracle,
come on,
we're standing here.
Right.
And God says, "Why are you crying? Hey. Speak, man."
Right.
And Brother Bram said, the angels were just around Moses, just waiting for him to speak.
Right.
That's our Father. Can you say amen?
Amen.
God came personally down to meet Joshua.
Amen.
God came personally down to Gideon and gave him his commission.
Amen.
Right. I mean, Gideon the coward. Amen.
Yep.
He was as a coward. And God says, "Gideon, mighty man who makes the rapture." And if you would see, God says, "Mighty man who makes the rapture." God says, "Look, I mean, rising of the sun, quickening power brought me behind the curtain of time, and I saw all of you there." And then he says, "All of them there." But first, he says, "All of you there." God sees the bride in the rapture already. God says, "I call you broad." You say, "But you know, if you would know how I feel," God says, "I'm not interested in how you feel. I see you already." Because you have a representation. But will I make it? God says, "Hey, I know you make it. Because you are my child." Can you say amen?
Amen.
Do you understand that we rest on God? Rapture is not we have to work us into something. No. My Father will pick me up. My Father will not forget me here. Can you say amen?
Amen?
God came personally down to wake up Samuel.
Right. Amen.
God came personally to David to direct the stone.
Right.
Amen. And I make it just as a little. Now here was David with his effort. Do whatever you can to serve the Lord. Do your part.
Yep.
But know it will not be enough.
Yep.
Amen. Know that it's not enough. And then here comes the stone and here comes David. He said, and Brother Bram said this, when the stone left the hand of David, God took that stone in his hands. And on that stone was an address. Front of David, of Goliath. So Goliath could have made this or this. Or that stone would have said, "Look, I have a destiny, friends. Wherever you hide, I find you." Can you say amen? If you do your part, Brother Bram said, God will send the same angels to you that he sent to Elijah.
Amen.
That's our Father.
Amen.
He's not sitting just there and said, "Now we will see who will make it."
No.
That's not our Father.
No. Amen.
You do your part, your Father. Okay, I help you.
Right.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
What a wonderful Father we have.
Amen.
God came down personally to his weary prophet Elijah. God came personally down to identify Job. Job, that poor man. And here come the fourth man after three friends. I mean, the first one was a Lutheran. The second one was a Methodist. The third one was a Pentecostal. Man, Job, what you need is a prayer line, man. And some gifts, man. That's fine. We love these things. But they are not the answer to our question.
Right.
Job, you need it. You know, it has to shiver. Then we had these things enough. That's fine. But that's not our answer.
Amen. Right.
We need more. We need identity from God.
Right.
And here comes Elihu. And he speaks about Job. "Look, you have only 70, 80 years to live. And when you die, there is already a body waiting because you will get your youth again." And Job stands up and says, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." And right from the whirlwind says, "Job, stop being a Pentecostal baby because I want to speak supernatural to you. Stop being kindergarten. Stand before me like a man."
Amen.
Because God will not marry a child.
No, right. Amen. That's right, buddy.
God will not marry a baby.
No, right.
God will marry a woman.
Amen.
Exactly so. Christ will marry a true bride.
Amen.
And God says, "Man, stand up."
Yeah.
And here's Job. And he asked him just a question. Job, I want to ask you one thing. Where were you? And Job must have said, oh God, I was just thinking about that little life in here in Georgia, and I was thinking a little problems and this and this and problems with my, I cannot pay the bill, I cannot this. And yeah. God said to him, hey Job, where were you? And Job must have remembered, I was in you.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
Do you know one thing? If we speak about spiritual amnesia, you can only have amnesia when you had knowledge before. If not, you have not amnesia. You have had the knowledge who you were before, but amnesia put it out. And here comes God down and said, I will take that amnesia from you.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. Therefore, we believe the third pull. Yeah. Because in the mind of God, we were with him when he was creating.
That's right. Amen.
We saw him doing the things. Therefore, it's not a problem for us creating squirrels.
Right.
For God is nothing.
That's right. Amen.
You see, amen.
Amen.
Do you know one thing, how it's so important to understand the voice in the voice? They find out that the last sense that we have is the hearing.
Right.
When a person dies. And when a person is in coma and the person likes a special singer and you put the music of that singer on that person, it sometimes comes back to life.
Right. Yeah.
Because that voice, Michael Jackson, whatever, pulls him back.
Yeah.
So I told the church, one thing is sure, if I will fall into a coma, you know what you put on my ears, okay? And if I hear good evening, friends. Now this message remembers us about things that we knew before, but we forgot them. Because we are still in that body. Therefore, when we preach, we don't preach here, we preach here. Can you say amen? Blessed be. And the more God is unfolding himself, the more we remember ourselves.
Right.
Therefore, for us, the rapture is just, I was in him.
Right.
That is a logical thing that I will go in the rapture.
Right.
Not in that thing of, okay, let's drink and let's smoke. That is not a son of God.
Right.
But if you do your best, from that point on, God takes you up.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
God comes personally in the fiery furnace of Babylon. God comes personally to Mary for her pregnation. God comes down in the form of man and in Christ Jesus. God comes personally to Paul on the way to Damascus. God comes personally to open the prison of Paul and Barnabas. God comes personally to Brother Branham giving his commission. God comes personally to the Ohio River. God comes personally to Houston, Texas to make a picture. And we say, oh, that's Brother Branham with the pillar of fire. Brother Branham said, God wanted to make a picture of himself. And he allowed that I was on the picture too. So for us, it's more difficult to be an unbeliever than to be a believer. I mean, for us not to believe, because we have even the photos. Can you say amen? God came personally on Sunset Mountain that the bridegroom will meet his bride.
Amen.
Christ the Word. God comes down to take his bride. Amen. And God comes personally to Israel to reveal himself.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now Brother Brandon makes a scenery. And he says it like this. Whenever it deals with God's children, God is not sending someone.
Right.
It's too important for him. It's his children.
Right.
Amen. Therefore, he did not send somebody else at the cross and say, okay, you die for it because it was his children and I die for my children.
Amen. Right. Amen. Exactly right.
And the prophet said this. Now, when, and I could read it, but just let me say it in my word. He said, when the three youngsters were in that fiery furnace in Babylon, he said, the angels came and said, let me go down. And one of the angels said, I will wash everything away. And then God says, no, Wormwood, you were a mighty angel. That is just wonderful.
Yeah.
But he said, I saw these youngsters praying last night. And I heard their cry. And then Brother Bram said this, what God says. He said, this is a man-sized job. And then God says, I have to go down myself. And Brother Brandon was asked the question, who was the fourth one? Was it Daniel? No, that was Christ.
Amen.
Can you say amen? Whenever it's important for God, he comes personally.
Amen.
So I showed you through all the scripture what happens in our day.
Yeah.
God is not just sitting there and said, okay, here in Georgia, we will see who will make it. God knows already.
Amen.
Say, okay, I help you. Okay, you do your part, but I help you. There's a certain moment where I take you just under my arms. Okay, I send you a chariot of fire. Okay? Amen. Do we believe that?
Amen.
Amen. Just make the name. I come to the end. Amen. Therefore, I told you. Next one. Last one. Last one. Yeah. Therefore, I told you. I hope that everything that I said, look, you understand that it was a little bit pressed. If all the balance was a little bit out, you understand it was. I was speaking about a subject, okay?
Amen.
But let it be a thanksgiving to remember our Father.
Exactly.
To say, hey, if I had 10,000 lives, I would serve the Lord.
Amen.
Brother Marcus, what is your doctrine? As for me and my heart, right, we serve the Lord.
Amen. Glory.
It's a love affair.
Amen.
Now, this is a picture, very, very touchy. This man is not the grandfather. This man is the father of that girl. He's an unbeliever. But the man has cancer. That means he has not long to live. And he knows one thing. Nobody in the life of my daughter will replace daddy.
Yeah, right.
Do you know, as a mother, as a father, nobody takes your place?
Right, right, sure.
Do you know that God placed our children willfully in our family?
Yeah.
If you are failing, there's nobody who take your place.
Right, right.
Amen.
Right, yeah.
So we should be prayed up, Lord, let me be the best father,
right,
best
amen.
Mama in the world.
Yeah.
Absolutely so.
Yeah.
Amen. This man understood a lesson that we have to understand sometime. This was her father having cancer, having very short to live. And he knows one thing. I will never be able to bring my daughter to the altar when she marries. So what they were doing, as she is maybe 12 years old, she had no husband, that's for sure. But they were doing as if there is a marriage, and he was just taking that girl to the altar. And when she will marry one day, they will continue that ceremony.
Yeah.
From that moment on. And she will be able to say, my own father
Amen.
Brought me to the
right.
altar.
Amen. Amen.
Brother, if a natural father can be like this,
Amen,
what about our father?
Amen. Exactly.
What about our... If we would know how he thinks about us and how he cares. Brother Bram says it like this. He said when these great meetings, first, second pool, when they were over, these disciples were just on a boat.
Yep.
Testimony on the sea. They were just, it became dark. And Brother Bram said, the Bible says, Jesus went upon a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And Brother Bram said, he was observing them all the
right.
time.
Right. Right. Right.
And when the night was there, in the midst of Laodicea,
yep.
he came down personally.
Amen. Yep. Right.
What a time that we live.
Amen.
It's our time. He came down personally.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Who wants to go back to a former age? There's no way. There's no way. No. There has never been a day like this day before. God always comes in our direction. Therefore, Brother Bram said, when Abraham came from the slaughter, Melchizedek came to him. One came from there, Melchizedek came from there.
Right, right.
Amen. When Rebekah was on the camels coming to Isaac, Isaac came halfway to Rebekah to meet her
right.
in the evening time.
Amen.
When the prodigal son came back to the father, the Bible says the father was running to him.
Right.
He was not sitting there, that's not our father.
Right.
Amen. Do you know when you come to church that your father is waiting for you?
Amen.
Do we come just to church to have a religious service and to say it was nice? I was in the church. I'm a believer. I have an eagle here, an eagle tattoo. Or do we come and say the house of the Lord, my Father?
Amen.
Whatever I did, whatever the problems are, I can talk to my Father.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I have a little daughter, 16 years old. You see, do you mean that when I come home, that I want my daughter on the knees and say, oh, Father is coming. Father is coming. He goes to work so that I can go to McDonald's. Thank you, Father.
Yeah.
Hey, we're not Islamic type of people.
No, that's right, brother.
God is not searching. All the angels can glory to the... All the angels can sing like this.
That's right.
But I want my daughter just to grab me. Hey, Daddy, do you have time? Yeah, I have time for you.
Yeah, right.
I was touched 5 years ago when I saw that little remark of your grandson, the greatest treasure, my grandma, and I was touched again.
Right.
You know, my I say it in my own words, my grandfather taught me basketball. My father, grandpa, taught me how to shoot. My father taught me this. What does the boy write? My grandfather took his time for me. He invested time for me. I was so precious for my grandfather that he took his precious time and dealt with me. You see, we as fathers and mothers, do we show our children, hey, you're precious to me? You're important to me. Amen. Sometimes we come home, we're directly internet, blah, 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 instead of saying, hey, my time is your time. Do you understand what I want to say? And we have a father who wants to let us know, hey, my time is your time. You want to pray? I'm there.
Glory.
How much time that God was the pillar of fire will be in our sleeping place? And we said, and we asked, where is God? And nothing happens, nothing happens. Brother, there is right now the greatest revival ever going on. Because the prophet said, the revival is over. The Pentecost revival is over. They live on the ashes of that. Even the message, they live on the ashes of it. But the bride didn't have a revival yet. It's a complete different form of a revival. It's different. What a time. If you miss this, that still small voice, you miss the message.
Right.
You just have God send a prophet. That's not enough.
That's not.
Recognizing the day and its message is more than to understand God send a prophet. Many people saw God send a prophet.
Sure.
But he is here.
Amen.
Therefore, God speaks to Brother Bram in that vision. He said, why don't you walk with me?
Right.
And Brother Bram said, that would be the greatest privilege. God asked you, why don't you walk with me?
Right.
Oh, for me it's enough, go to church and then live my life. You know, I'm a hockey fan. That's all fine, but God asked you, why don't you walk with me?
Amen. Right,
can you say amen? Right. How the bride, the rapture is already going on. Not the body change, sure, no. But do you feel how we get away from the things of the world? Do we feel it? We are already in, call it raptured condition. That's how Brother Branham called it. But there is already something that go that we're leaving the things more slowly by slowly. Amen. And that we're transformed already, and that we're thinking more about heavenly things than about earthly things. Can you say amen? It's already going on, that thing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. If the musicians would come. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you have the song, I Have a Father? I have a father. Do you know it? Hallelujah.
I have a father.
I have it. He knows my name. But if you can you play it? No, if you don't have it, then let us sing. Let's do it like this. Do you play softly the song that you were playing as the last song when I came up? Open the eyes of my heart. Just softly, and because I have two little testimonies to give. And then a very small, very short. Don't fear. Can you say amen so far? No, you please stay seated. Let's have a little time to think about our Father. Okay.
Amen.
Do you see that these little stories that Brother Brandon tells, they were not to be just a little bit emotional. But the whole message, even these little stories, they should show the heart of God. God says, hey children, that's the way I am. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Martin Luther, they were always, they brought a picture of God always fighting. I have to fight with this and I have to fight with that. And, you know, but God says, hey, I'm a father. I understand. And here's that older man. And Brother Man said in the message, God gifts find always their places. And the father had that doll. And it seems that the little girl died already. But he promised her that doll for Christmas.
Yeah.
You see? And he just went into the dark. And the policeman said, you are going to die if you continue that way. And the father said, but I promised to my girl to give her that doll. No matter the price that the cost for God, no matter the price, God remembers He's a father.
Amen.
Don't forget your children who are not serving the Lord right now. You say, Brother Marcus, these children, they bring reproach on the family. Look, my life brought a lot of reproach on God's family. But my father was never ashamed of me. Because he paid the price on Calvary right before I was born. My father always said to all the angels, look, this is Marcus. He brings a lot of reproach. But once I call him, you will see what he will be.
Amen.
And there is a true story. That's really the end. To understand what human love can do. And now you bring it multiplied with 1,000. There was an earthquake in Armenia at the beginning of this century. Please don't. A true story, a true witness. And a school collapsed. And the Red Cross, they stopped to search because there was no hope to find the children. But one father was starting to shovel with his hands for 16 or 18 hours. And some helped him because they thought this father has become crazy. And after 16 and 17 hours, they came into a place of protection right under the building where these youngsters were still in.
Amen.
And the testimony of those who survived was that the boy of that father who was beginning to shovel, he had a testimony. He said, my father will not let me here. He said, whatever that will cost him, my father takes me out. And I tell you, there was a supernatural connection between the confession of that boy and the father. And without knowing what he does, he was just starting. That's our father. And brother, I tell you one thing, sister. This world becomes crazy. But our father says, I will not let you hear. Our father comes down because in all history, when it became difficult for Israel, he said, I come down personally.
Right.
So the rapture is not that God says, okay, we will see it. No. Our father said, look, you do your part.
Yeah.
But when your wisdom is at, when you are at the end of everything, no one thing, I pick you up there.
Amen.
I have a father.
Glory.
You have a father.
Amen.
That's our doctrine for today.
Yeah, amen.
That's our thanksgiving.
Right.
You say, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You sing the song again, brother. And then we pray.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Yes, Father.
Open the eyes of my heart.
What a father we have, my precious brother.
That's a long
precious. Amen. God bless you, precious brother.
High and lifted up, shining in the light of the glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing.
Message.
Amen.
Let's give our brother a hand. Amen. See, there's one more to be added to that. Our Father came down tonight. Our Father came down. He didn't have to come a long ways because he'd always been here. That's what I love about it, don't you? He is my Father. You want to talk to me about him? Just come. We'll talk about him. Because he's wonderful. He's great. He's our Father. What about when he say, just to us to just say to him, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He is our Father. What a wonderful God. What a wonderful Savior. He came down himself. How does he sin? He sins by coming down and going in you. So we don't have to worry about it. It's all done and all settled. Anybody have a need? Let's sing that again. And then anybody has a need, let's come and let's pray. Make sure you tell our brother how much you appreciate the message because we believe it, right? Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. You have a need, come.
I want to see you.
Come and our Father will be here waiting on us.
I
whatever we have
to
need
see
of. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. I want you to see my Father.
To see you.
To see his
Father.
Your Father also. All born again believers have the same Father. Right. All born again believers have the same Father. What about a kingdom? A kingdom of kings and priests that are the children of Almighty God. And He's their Father.
Love as we say, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy.
Do you love it?
Yes, Lord. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy.
And
I want to see you.
Amen and amen.
Open
I hope we can all go home with our thoughts and our mind about our Father. Because He is our Father. Not to just to be the Father of a human flesh. No, He's the Father of a kingdom of kings and priests. Like I've always said about David. You think about David could go out there and just kill a giant and a bear and a lion. What if he'd had the baptism of the Holy Ghost? He'd have took the lion, the bear, and the giant and put them all together, tied one hand behind him and said, come on, we're going to solve this right now.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Why? Because it would have been so great. And that's what the kingdom of God is, a born-again believer. We truly have a great Father.
Oh, thank you,
amen and amen. Tell our brother how much you appreciate him. We appreciate him coming by, visiting with us, and having a good time with us. And if you have anything you'd like to give to him, we take care of the offerings and all, but if you have anything you'd like to give to him, go ahead and freely give it, you know, and all like that. He wouldn't ask for nothing because he tried the best to give me the money back because he says he works for a living. I like that. You know what? I like that. I never did get to know my father. He died when I was about 4 years old, but I don't know whether he was lazy or not, but I just don't think being a Christian makes it right for us to be lazy. I think it puts us to where we ought to be, on fire for Him and going for Him all the time, having a good time in the Lord. Amen. So all minds clear? Let's remember, pray for the services for the weekend and pray that the Lord would bless and guide each and every one of us. Right? Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you that you'd come by one more time and you'd talk to us. And Lord, we thank you. We ask you now to just bless our brother there, because truly he, if we have the same Father, we're brothers. And Father, we're just part of you. And we ask you to just go with our brothers. He travels about while he's here. Give him a safe journey and take care of everything. And Lord, bless everybody on the way home. Give everybody a safe journey and let your loving grace be with us. Remember the sick ones among us, because you promised it. You said you'd send your word and heal us and deliver us from destruction. And we thank you. Forgive our sins is the main thing, Father, and just go home with each and every one of us and let your light be there. Guide us now and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.
I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk with you.